O Lord, you are the God who hears and answers prayer. You invite us to pray. And then you promise you'll meet with us in prayer. Please call us to prayer this week. Help us to see a model and an inspiration to prayer in the life of Christ. Amen. Roy Hoffman wrote an article, editorial article for the New York Times, and he entitled it Remembering to Pray. And this is what he said. He said, he lives down in Mobile, Alabama, right on the bay. And he went for a run last winter, and as he was running, he looked out over the bay and the sun was setting. And if you've been to the ocean, you know those pelicans like to fly together just above the water. And he saw these pelicans flying across the water. He saw fishermen throwing their nets out there, and he saw the channel markers bobbing in the setting sun. And he came to a particular beautiful spot, and he said he just stopped and breathed deeply and felt an overwhelming happiness about being alive. He said, I'm in good health. I enjoy a loving family. I have trusted friends. I do the work I like to do. I've had the chance to travel around the world. And I just felt this overwhelming impulse come over me, he said. He said, I wanted to speak in a way that used to be easy for me as a child. Silently, intensely, embracing the mystery. I felt I wanted to pray. Said, my problem was, it's a matter of remembering how, because it's been so long since I prayed in a meaningful way. I believe for most Christians, the impulse to pray comes to us often in moments just like that. We reach some beautiful point, in some beautiful moment in our life, and we just want to say something to God. And I believe everybody in this room feels that goodness and impulse to pray from time to time. But tonight I want to talk to you about a different kind of prayer. This is our fall week of prayer, and I want to talk to you about an impulse to pray that doesn't come with a beautiful setting sun. It's not a prayer that comes from a heart overwhelmed with blessings and joy. I want to talk to you tonight about hard prayer. And perhaps for me, the hardest prayer in the Bible was whispered from our Lord Jesus Christ when sweat and blood and spit ran down his face. When the cruel Roman nails pierced his hands and feet, when the cross jarred into its hole, Christ whispered a prayer. And perhaps it's the hardest prayer to pray. Maybe it's the hardest prayer that's ever prayed in the whole Bible. because Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And in this prayer, Christ teaches us the wonder, the dignity, and the power of praying when it's not convenient, when my soul isn't overwhelmed with rapture, when I'm not feeling the delight of life. You see, you only pray hard prayers, and you only pray in hard times if you're able to take your focus off yourself and turn your focus on God as your Father. In this prayer, Christ taught us that prayer reminds us that God is our Father. Life will do everything it can to rob us of that well-being. Your life experiences, if you're not careful, will defraud you of the rich feeling that God Almighty is your Father. Prayer increases our faith in God's fatherly wisdom. Christ could not have prayed this hard prayer if he had not had great faith in the wisdom that what his Father was doing on the cross was necessary, meaningful, and would change eternity. You don't pray hard prayers without being reminded that God is wise, and no matter what's happening around you, and no matter how overwhelming it feels, he still has some higher purpose that he's working. In this prayer, Christ teaches us that prayer connects us to the fatherly comfort of God. When my children were overwhelmed with sorrow, when their lives were too hard for them, my fatherly heart desired to comfort them. And when you pray to your Father from the depths of sorrow, his comfort is a gift to your soul. I'm inviting you to come to prayer this week. Every day, Monday through Friday, we're going to pray at 6 o'clock in the morning, at noon, and at 6 o'clock in the evening. I'm asking you to every day pick one prayer time and come and pray. You say, Doc, that's just too hard. Yeah, I get it. It's too hard for you to be inconvenienced. But there is one who prayed for you at a time that was altogether more inconvenient than you praying to him this week. It was not a fun day when he whispered to the Almighty, Father, forgive them, my children in the Christ Church, who feel too busy to pray, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Hard prayers release our resentment. I could not have prayed this prayer. I could have prayed, but it would have been a vicious prayer. Father, smite these deleted. Break their teeth. May misery and sorrow come upon them. But Christ released his right to any of that, and he prayed this incredible prayer. Father, forgive them. Christ teaches us that we release our resentment to God and we do it in prayer. Every one of you are angry about something. you have a sense of not being treated fair in some way. And Christ says, you can release it to your Heavenly Father in prayer. You don't have to take it out on somebody. We find healing in forgiveness. When Christ left the cross, he was done with it. He had already forgiven the abuse that they heaped upon him. When they carried him away from that when they carried him away from that skull-shaped hill, he left all the ugliness behind him. He didn't take any of it with him. He had already released it. He had already forgiven it. Christ teaches that it's possible to forgive the unforgivable. I know what you're thinking. Doc, you can't ask me to forgive this. It was unforgivable. Could I tell you, nobody has ever treated you nearly as bad as we treated Christ, and he forgave it. I'm not saying you haven't had hard times. I'm not saying people haven't been bad to you. But I'm saying Jesus Christ said, there is a hard prayer that can be said, and I'll show you how to do it. Some of you need to come this week, and you need to say some hard prayers of letting go and letting Christ set you free and heal your heart by forgiving the unforgivable. You say, Doc, I just can't do it. All right, how about this option? How about you come and let somebody else pray for what you can't pray for? What if you come and you join a prayer group and all you can give to that prayer group is, would somebody please pray for me for this? You see, I come to the week of prayer not just to pray for myself. I come to the week of prayer because I want to be like Christ. I want to pray for other people. This room will have people in it every single prayer session that are here to pray for somebody else. Why not come and let them pray for you? Hard prayers acknowledge the brutality of ignorance. Father, forgive them. They're just too stupid to know what they're doing. Stupid people do mean things. Do you see? Often, if you look at the cross, it's a good example. Often, ignorant people have no idea of how brutal they are. In their ignorance, they have no way of knowing the damage they're doing to people around them. When Christ hung on the cross, the Bible says they actually wagged their heads and made fun of the things that he had taught humanity to help us relate better to God. Christ taught us to pray when the unfairness and the ignorance of people really hurt us. In this verse, I see Christ forgave my ignorance to give me the capacity to forgive the ignorance of others around me. Some of the things that you've attributed to evil in somebody else, it's just ignorance. They didn't really have an evil agenda. It wasn't their plan to ruin your life. They were just too stupid to know the repercussions of what they were doing. Listen, And Christ said, I'm going to forgive you for your ignorance so you can pray and forgive others of their ignorance. I've wounded Christ in my ignorance. I've just been too stupid to know that I was grieving his righteous heart. I've just been too insensitive to the dignity of his person to know that I insulted his majesty. And on the cross, Christ said, Father, forgive my son, Doc. He's just too stupid to know what he's doing. But as Christ has forgiven my stupidity, church, he said to me, now you understand, son. Now you turn around and you forgive, you say prayers forgiving others of their stupidity. Maybe that spouse who broke your heart, maybe they weren't Satan incarnate. Maybe they were just emotionally stupid. That parent who never lived up to what you wanted, maybe they weren't wicked. Maybe they just didn't. They're like a lot of us. They made parenting mistakes. I certainly don't want my kids to resent my stupid mistakes. Do you? Maybe that person at work who is so intolerable, maybe they're not what you think. Maybe they're just stupid. And Christ said, Father, I'm not going to hold their stupidity against them. Forgive them. You see, sometimes I feel this ignorance when I want to pray. I've sat in this room many, many times and really wanted to pray in a way that touched the heart of God, but I had to admit to myself, I'm just a poltroon. And I have just said to God, I'm sorry, I haven't figured this out better, but I know you get it, and I'm trusting you to help me in spite of my ineptness and my incompetence. You see, when Christ said, Father, forgive them, they're stupid, he's saying to us, just come to me. I'll forgive your ineptness. I'll forgive your underdeveloped soul. I'll forgive your ignorance. I'll forgive what you don't know. But meet me. Meet me in prayer. Let me be a blessing to you when you feel incompetent to reach out to me. Maybe we should meet this week every day and pray that spiritual knowledge would displace spiritual ignorance in us, in our families, and in our church. Hard prayers are offered at hard times. People have said to me over the 30 years we've had this week of prayer, can't you do it in a more convenient way? And I say, no. No, I can't. Christianity is not supposed to meet your convenient schedule. We're meeting the Lord God Almighty, and if we can't pencil in some time for him, even when it isn't convenient for us, we have to ask ourselves, what does my faith mean to me anyway? Amen. If the only time I have for my wife is when it's convenient, she has every right to say to me, dude, I don't think you revere me the way you should. The only time I have for my children is if I say, well, let me see my calendar and see if I have any time for you. My children would quickly come to know I'm a sorry dad. If I say to Christ, thank you for praying for me at the most inconvenient time in your life. When your body was shocked by the pain of the cross, when you were humiliated by insult and injury, when your brow wore thorns, and when your back was lashed and bleeding, you prayed for me. Thank you for praying for me at such an inconvenient time. Perhaps the inconvenience of coming to the house of God 1 hour a week would not seem so intrusive into your so important life. Christ didn't say, if I felt better today, I would pray for you. If people hadn't abused me today, I would pray for you. If I wasn't on the cross today, I would pray for you. Christ had every excuse in the world for not praying for us at that moment in his life. And you know what he did? He put them all behind him. And at the hardest time of his life, he prayed for us. I think it should be inconvenient. I think your week ought to be uncomfortable, at least during the week of prayer, and you're saying, Christ is worth this to me. Christ is worth me getting out of bed 5 days a little bit earlier. Christ is worth me stopping here on my way home from work. He's worth it. I'm glad it's inconvenient. I'm glad I'm saying to Christ, you're not a convenience in my life. You are a necessary person. And I'm going to meet you even at difficult times in prayer. Christ prayed when he was overwhelmed with a feeling of unfairness. He prayed when his body racked with pain. He prayed when times were hard. He prayed when he didn't feel like praying. And he prayed for the hardest project he ever did in his life, the forgiveness of our sins. I find this tragic. I find this tragic. Christ prayed alone. At this hard time, on the cross, he prayed alone. There wasn't one person there to pray with him. His disciples had all forsaken him and fled. They were hiding in fear. There were some women standing afar off who had followed him from Galilee. But the ones closest to him despised him and hated him and mocked him. And he prayed alone. We have the week of prayer, so you don't have to pray alone. You get this? You don't have to pray alone. There are people who are going to come here. They're going to break up into little groups, and they're going to have an open heart to pray with you, pray for you. You don't have to pray alone, because Christ said, where two or three of you gather together in my name, I'm going to be there with you. I couldn't be there with him when he prayed his hardest prayer. But listen, he promised to be here with me if I would pray hard prayers. Hard prayers empower us for hard work. What was the work Christ was doing on the cross? He was sacrificing himself for us. We're never going to have a self-sacrificing spirit of service until we pray the Spirit of Christ into us. We're never going to have this self-sacrificing spirit of service that Christ models until the Spirit of Christ is prayed alive within us. We'll never serve those who don't appreciate it until we have prayed our way into the heart of Jesus Christ. Here's what I find in serving Christ. The stuff that's easy to do, the stuff that people appreciate, it's pretty easy to get people to volunteer. But there are hard jobs that nobody appreciates. And the troops get sinned there. And you know who ends up serving in places like that? The people who know the goodness of Christ best. The Spirit of Christ is alive within them, and it makes sense to do that hard work with Christ. Christ was accomplishing the hard work of God's perfect plan. Do you remember what he said? Don't you know I could pray to my Father right now and he would send legions of angels to deliver me? I don't have to do this. I'm not stuck here. I have an option. I don't have to be on the cross dying for you. I don't have to be here praying for you. I choose to do it. Do you hear this, church? If you're ever going to accomplish God's perfect plan for your life, you got to choose to meet him in hard times and hard prayer. You have to choose to. He's not going to make you. He's not going to coerce you. He's not going to drive you. He's not even going to guilt trip you. That guilt doesn't come from God. He's going to say, if you don't, Father, forgive them. They're too stupid to do the right thing. But at some point, I want to get better than that, don't you? I'd like Christ to pray, Father, bless him. He's tearing his heart out for your kingdom work. Amen? Father, bless him. His heart is in the right place. Father, bless him. Do you hear his prayer? I want to grow. I want to grow beyond Christ having to forgive my stupidity. I want to grow where Christ can bless my commitment to him and my service for his eternal purpose. Amen. Would you join me this week in at least one prayer session every day, praying for divine power to do the hard work that this church is engaged in? I tell you all the time, we try hard stuff. And here's what I believe after 32 years. We accomplish hard stuff because we pray. And when we do not pray, we don't accomplish hard stuff. We're trying to find God's lost kingdom, lost kids, and bring them back into the family. That's hard work. I'm going to come here every day and pray, Dear God, help us to find your lost kids and bring them back into the family. We're trying to expand our facilities so that we can do ministries that we can't do, and we can serve of people that we can't serve right now. And that's hard work. Asking people for millions of dollars is hard work. I've done it. I'm doing it. I hate the job. And if I wasn't certain that it's what God wanted to do, I wouldn't do it. I'll be here every day this week saying to God, please, please help us to do the hard work of getting more space to serve new people who you want to bring into your kingdom. We're trying to do hard work. We have a thriving campus in Elyria. We're going to start another campus. It's hard work. It's hard work. Churches close all the time. Who will do the hard work? Who will say, Christ, I want to be like you? Every day this week, I'll be here praying, dear God, give us the resources and the people to start a new campus. Finally, I want to look at this verse one more time. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When you say hard prayers, you are the most like Christ you'll ever be. You will never be more like Jesus Christ than when you are praying for something hard at an inconvenient time. If you read the Gospels, the Bible says that it was common for Jesus to get up before everybody else and go alone and pray. If you read the Gospels, it tells you time and time again, when everybody else went to do something else in the evening, Jesus went up on the mountain and prayed. You will never be more like Jesus Christ than when you are finding a time, carving out a time that isn't convenient to you, that is demanding on you, that doesn't really fit your schedule, and meeting him and pleading with him in hard prayer for hard things. You'll never be more like Jesus Christ than when you do that. If people mock you for it, you're just like Christ. Oh, you're going to the church to pray. Oh, you still believe in the superstition of prayer. Yes, church, I do. I believe in prayer. You can't mock me out of it. My whole life, the best things in my life came through prayer. You'll never be more like Christ than when you connect with the majesty of God, even though you feel naked, weak, and ashamed. He hung naked. He hung broken and weak. He hung ashamed on the cross. But he connected with the majesty of God. You'll never be more like Christ than when you are empty of yourself and connecting with the majesty, the wonder, the beauty and awe of God as you pray in his presence. We have to pray until we cannot help but believe in the power of prayer. And so this week I'm only asking you for one thing. I'm asking you to look at your schedule. I'm asking you to find 1 hour every day, 6 o'clock in the morning, noon, or 6 o'clock in the evening. I'm asking you to come here. I'm asking you to sit in a group with other people. If you can pray, pray. If you can't pray, say to somebody, say to the group, please pray for me. I'm asking you who know Christ and are followers of Christ, I'm asking you to come here and pray hard prayers. Jesus said, if we have faith that is the size of a grain of mustard seed, we can say a prayer for a mountain to be picked up and cast into the sea, and it'll happen. I can't think of a harder prayer than that. I'd rather pray for millions of dollars to build a building than for Mount Everest to fall into the Indian Ocean. But listen to what Christ said. If you have faith and you pray the hard prayers, awesome stuff will happen. I'm asking you who know Christ to come here and pray the hard prayers. Pray for this church to succeed in our mission. Pray for this church to succeed in our emphasis. Pray for this church to glorify Jesus Christ. Pray for this church to do the things that we have to do for this generation to know that the Lord our God, He is the Lord. I'm asking you to pray hard prayers at hard times and join in the life of Christ, our dear Heavenly Father. Only your Spirit moves the church to prayer. I ask you through the prayer of Christ that you ignite a longing in our souls to pray this week. I ask that hundreds would meet here every day and call upon your name. I ask that we would grow through prayer. I ask that this church would accomplish its mission through prayer. I ask that you would glorify your name in our souls and through our lives as we meet you in prayer this week. Amen.
Thank you for your interest in Christ Church. If we can serve you in any way, please contact us at 440-236-8282 or visit us on the web at www.christchurchohio.org.